In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for thee. Exercise all thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 162, Dignity of Priesthood. We have two pictures, so not a lot of text today. The first picture shows a priest celebrating High Mass, and we can see Christ hanging on the cross above the altar. In heaven, we see the Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, God the Father, the Holy Ghost, as the represented as the dove, the choirs of angels. We see the saints in heaven. We see all the clerics gathered around the altar with the incense burning. I don't know what else to describe here, but the caption reads, "Priesthood is the highest dignity on earth. The dignity of a priest surpasses that of emperors and even of angels. No angel can convert bread into the body of Christ by the mere power of his word, nor can any angel forgive sin. The priest stands between God and man. He is God's representative, God's ambassador. Therefore, whatever honor we pay to the priest, we render to God himself. St. Francis of Assisi said that if he met an angel and a priest at the same time, he should salute the priest first." Okay, then there's another image on the facing page of the different instruments that the bishops wear. The caption reads, "The bougia is the candlestick a bishop uses at Mass. He uses a special basin and ewer for washing his hands at the altar. He wears a pectoral cross and uses the crozier on solemn occasions, such as when administering confirmation. His ring, an amethyst stone, is kissed by the faithful in sign of respect. He wears the mitre at pontifical masses, as well as gloves, silk stockings, and sandals to match his vestments. The pallium is sent by the Pope to an archbishop after he has taken possession of his metropolitan see. It is worn on the shoulders. The fanon is a shoulder cape which the Pope alone may wear. It has a gold cross embroidered in front and is used when the Holy Father says solemn High Mass. He is the only one that is entitled to use the tiara, a triple crown surmounted by a cross." The two images we have. First question is, why should Catholics show reverence and honor to the priest? Catholics should show reverence and honor to the priest because he is the representative of Christ himself and the dispenser of his mysteries. The dignity of a priest is higher than any earthly dignity, for he is the representative of God. He has power that the most powerful civil rulers do not possess. The humblest priest, by his word, can call down God upon the altar and convert bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. He can say to the sinner, "I absolve thee," and the sinner's soul is saved from hell. What earthly dignity can compare with this? Not even the Blessed Virgin possessed the power to forgive sins, to grant absolution that erases the very guilt of sin. Even the pagan conqueror, Alexander the Great, respected the ministers of God, recognizing their dignity as his representatives. In one of his military expeditions, he came to Jerusalem. The people were in a state of great fear and offered prayers to obtain divine protection. The high priest, with the rest of the clergy clad in their ceremonial vestments, finally went to meet the king to beg for mercy. When Alexander saw the high priest, he bowed down low before him, while all present were filled with surprise. Upon later being asked by one of his generals why he had so humbled himself before one whom he had conquered, the king replied, I did not pay reverence to the man, but to God, whose priest he is. We owe the priest reverence due to his dignity as representative of Christ, even if a priest's life does not correspond with the requirements of his office. We should give respect, this we do, to his office. The priest is Alter Christus, another Christ. Our Lord calls him a city built upon a hill, the salt of the earth. He is in the world, but not of it. St. Francis of Sales said of priests, I will close my eyes to their faults and only see in them God's representatives. When we meet a priest, we should salute him. Women and girls should bow, and men and boys should raise their hats. We should not gossip about the priest, even if we should notice something we do not like in him. To calumniate a priest is sacrilege. One who lays violent hands on a priest is excommunicated. In recognition of his dignity and the respect and support we owe him, we should not neglect to help our priest with money or other means, such as teaching catechism, attending to the cleanliness and decoration of the church, and helping with expenses. A good way of helping the priest is to join the parochial organizations he forms, such as Catholic Action and Confraternity of Christian Doctrine units, sodalities, leagues, etc. Is there need of priest? There is great need of priest everywhere, for Christianity is impossible without priest. Many countries have only a few priests. Only about one-third of the world population is Christian, chiefly because there are not enough priests. There are good Catholics who know their religion, but cannot practice it properly and receive the sacraments as often as they would, because there is no priest to administer to them. Many are indifferent or have joined false sects. They have not had sufficient instruction for lack of priests. We need priests to go as missionaries to non-Christian lands. We ought to show our gratitude for the grace of faith by helping to spread it among people less fortunate. That concludes our reading. Do we have any questions or comments? Well, there's so much to be said about the dignity of the priest, and many of the meditations that are written for priests remind them consciously of, or consistently, of this dignity that they have, that they are an Alter Christus. But I really enjoy reading that in these meditations that are written for the priest, that though he is an Alter Christus, he should not forget that altar. He is not Christ, but another Christ. There is only one Christ, and the priest must always strive to keep himself humble and to resist the temptation to pride and vanity, or to take advantage of the piety, the respect that the laity and even other clerics show to the priest, and that it is nothing in himself that is worthy of this respect, but it is truly the office in which he possesses, or that he finds himself in. And of course, just like the religious, we are also reminded that it is not we who have chosen God, but it is God who has chosen us. And again, to prevent us from falling into pride and vanity, we are reminded that God chooses the most insignificant, the most unworthy, the least, so that no one can lay claim to the works of God. And you'll see that when the saints perform miracles, they will insist, I did not perform the miracle, this was the work of God. I am nothing, I don't perform miracles, I am no one. Any good that you see in me is the work of God. Any good that comes forth from me is the work of God. So it is a delicate balance for the priest to command, if you will, the respect of the laity, but at the same time to remain humble. And I find it a rather challenging circumstance to be open and to be receptive and to have the laity talk freely with the priest. It is a difficult thing to balance that and yet command the same respect that the laity should show. And familiarity, I've had people talk to me and then apologize. I should not have been so familiar or forthright. And I said, well, I'm sorry because I'm a little dense. I don't notice that you can say things about me and even to my face. And okay, I'm not offended. I don't take exception usually to those things. You've got to be pretty blunt because I do attribute that probably to my many meditations as a Franciscan, seeking humility and to realize that truly we are nothing as priests, as religious, and that God chooses the worst or the least in order to do the greatest work. And so if there's any good, my only boast will be, I guess I was open enough or receptive enough to allow God to do this through me, and I didn't resist him. And I use that same analogy often preaching to people. If you will cooperate with the grace of God, he will save you. It is God's will that you be in heaven, and he will do everything that he possibly can to get you into heaven. There's only one thing that's going to stop you from getting into heaven, and that is yourself. But if you will simply receive the graces of God, open yourself up to God's will to do what God wants, regardless of the consequences, then God will be able to do great things in you, and you can overcome your faults, your failings. You can overcome temptations, trials, and tribulations. They can all be turned into great merit, great reward in heaven, but many times even here on earth. And so, yes, we must show that respect, that honor, if you will, to the priesthood. But we must also honor ourselves because we are all Catholics. We have all been baptized. We have made vows to God. And he loves us. And I can say that with certainty because we are not in hell. Might say we're not in hell yet. But I don't want to ever be there. So we are still here on this earth. We haven't been judged, eternally judged yet. And so the opportunity is still there for us to merit an eternal reward in heaven. And God is going to do everything that he can, short of forcing our wills, which makes me be filled with a lot of confidence. A consolation that the graces are there. And of course, as it said when this book was written, there are not enough priests, and I can reiterate that probably with even more emphasis today. And I have, we do have the benefit that my sermons can go out on the internet, they can go across the world, people can hear them. But I emphasize that those who cannot receive the sacraments, that they do so spiritually and really put their heart and soul into making spiritual communions to spiritually assist at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and that God truly does accept the desire for the deed. And it seems that the world that God has placed us in at this time, in these circumstances, he wants us to be even more spiritually inclined than ever before. He wants us to be able to understand that he is everywhere and we have a soul and we are capable of uniting ourselves with him in the sacrifice of the Mass, no matter how far away it may be. I guess we have no questions or comments. We can end with our prayer, the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.